What I have reported may seem strange to those friends who still know little about the spiritual laws and the life of the spiritual world. But one should delve deeper into all of this. One should ask God to help one to gain the understanding to grasp all of this and to make it possible for one to think of the future world as a human being in this earthly kingdom, not to forget it and to orient oneself as far as possible towards the future in human life and work. So, dear brothers and sisters, I withdraw. May God's blessing protect you, accompany you. May He protect you so that you do not have to endure hardship, suffering or illness, so that the grace and love of God guide you. Be grateful for this and raise your hearts and souls up to God. Greetings from God. Report of the experience of Spirit Teacher Joseph through his mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchausen Stress, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case. September 7, 1966. Matthias Guardian Service in a Spiritual Animal Kingdom. About the great surprise of a simple farmer that there is life after death for both him and the animals. Matthias, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Matthias. My wife and I raised 7 children. I was a farmer by profession. I was not particularly pious. But my wife went to church very diligently and regularly and prayed a lot, including for me. I could not really believe and therefore sometimes had differences with my wife. Our children had been raised in a religious sense by my wife. Later, however, they also went their own way. I had no idea about life after death and was of the opinion that it would all be over after death. I tried to live right and not harm anyone. But now, when I woke up in the other world, I was disappointed and surprised. At first I couldn't believe that it was like that. When I opened my spiritual eyes, I saw beings standing very close to me. The beings who were related to me and who I knew stood a little to the side and waved to me. I could clearly hear the conversation of the beings who were standing very close to me. I was not able to grasp the whole thing properly and thought it was all just a dream. But I was soon proven wrong and the beings who were standing next to me said to me, "Matthias, it is not a dream, but reality. You are alive. You have only left your body behind, but what is imperishable in you has entered the kingdom of God, into eternity, into the imperishable." The figures that stood very close to me had a beautiful appearance, and I heard them actually discussing me. One seemed to be complaining about me, and the other was interceding for me or speaking well of me, and I heard him say, "After all, he raised 7 children. He tried to do what he could. Of course he had no bias to your faith, but he looked after his family and did what he could in this unbelief in which he lived." Much was said in addition that I could not understand. However, it was clear to me that they were talking about me and were eagerly engaging in conversation with one another. I watched and was disappointed that life went on. I said to myself, "Now it is my fault, that I could not believe properly, and rightly so I now had to take the evil upon myself." My wife had been right. She had explained to me again and again, "God will punish you, you cannot get through that net." Truly, that was now clear to me, I could not escape. I stood there, somewhat frightened, and tried to think what I could say that would be in my favor. But nothing came to mind. I kept hearing my wife's reproaches, accusing me of not going to church, of not praying, of not wanting to believe. Always these reproaches, and I had to say to myself, "She was right, she was right. But what use is it to me now? Even if I have come to my senses, it is too late now. What will happen to me, since I have lived in this disbelief?" I then realized that only these noble beings were in my immediate vicinity, the others had left just as quietly as they had come. So I could not start a conversation with my friends and relatives. I thought to myself, "Yes, prayers are being said for my poor soul, and their prayers will certainly be of use to me." My wife was still alive, and I knew that she would pray for me. When the conversation was over, some of these distinguished people had left, they had not taken any further notice of me. 2, however, stayed, came very close to me and said to me, "Yes, you must now go through a purification process. You must now try to make up for what you have missed in life, but that will not be so easy. You cannot simply make up for what you have missed in a short time, but we want to give you the opportunity to reflect on the life you have lived and the wrong way. But you should not think that it will be so easy and so wonderful for you. Then they asked me, as if they didn't know, what I had done in my human life. What did you work for? I said, you know what I had done. I was a farmer. They replied, yes, you were, but your property was very modest. And in my defense they said, yes, you tried to get through life as best you could with your family. Well, you didn't bring a great deal of intelligence with you, and you don't have any good works either, so we will now put you into a job that you should actually be familiar with. You had a modest property, and we will now take you to a field. There are a lot of animals there that you have to look after. You now have to make sure that these animals do not cross the boundaries that have been drawn. I actually breathed a sigh of relief, because I had expected much worse. I had thought that a time of torment and pain would begin for me, but that did not seem to be the case. What followed was so quick, they led me to a large field, to a pasture where there were many animals that I was supposed to look after. I couldn't count them. They didn't talk much and didn't explain to me why I had to look after these animals, but simply said to me briefly, when the time comes, we will visit you. We will come and get you and let you know if it is necessary. They explained it to me again very clearly. The boundaries have been drawn and you must take care that these animals do not cross these boundaries. The boundaries were of course not drawn in the way that is usual on earth, namely with wire, but rather it was a band that lay on this spiritual earth and which, to me, seemed like the flickering of a fire. So that was the boundary. I myself was not allowed to cross this boundary either. I was supposed to stay within this boundary. It was explained to me, behind this border there is a large piece of pasture that could be called no man's land. This is how they explained it to me in my own terms. However, this did not mean that this land did not belong to anyone, it was simply an intermediate area between this pasture and the next one. If an animal crossed this border, then I had to take it back. Nothing should happen to the animal or to me. What was explained to me was of course difficult for me to understand, given my knowledge at the time. I had no idea why I had to look after these animals. Questions upon questions arose in me. I had imagined the world beyond or this heaven to be different. So I asked myself, is it really necessary for such animals to live in heaven? It reminded me too much of the earthly world, because everything was so similar to it. Now I had the same animals that I had once had in my stable. I thought that there were more than 1,000. They all seemed to be well fed and were mostly lying on this spiritual earth. To my amazement, this meadow was wonderfully green, though there was no grass growing, it seemed like a carpet. The cows were constantly chewing, as if they had just had a meal. So nobody gave me an answer to the question, why do these animals chew even though they are not eating anything? I had the opportunity to look at these animals. Their fur was so soft, so shiny and beautiful, and they were clean. The animals in my stable were not that clean. They all seemed to be content. They lay like that for a while, then got up again, sniffed around and looked for another place to lie down again. Often they lay body to body and seemed quite content. So I thought, you don't have to do such hard work there. Because in the earthly kingdom the animals were not so obedient. So I didn't have anything special to do. There was enough space for these animals because the field was big, really big. But the animals crowded together and seemed to warm each other. And so I was able to think about it. I thought, why is it necessary for there to be such herds of animals in the world beyond? I believed that just as there was no survival for humans, there would certainly be no survival for animals. So I had to improve my views and think about it, because I now found confirmation that this animal world also continues to live. I would also like to tell you something about my own personality. I thought about what my relatives would do, they would certainly pray for me. And I asked myself, would prayer be of any use? After all, I was not so unhappy in this field with these animals. So I had no reason to worry about whether people were praying for me. Then I took a closer look at myself and realized that I was actually wearing the same trousers as when I was alive. They were rolled up and I was shoeless. I didn't look particularly elegant. That didn't bother me, because anything else wouldn't have suited these animals. I was happy with it, and I slowly made my observations. I had been told that I had to make sure that the animals didn't cross the borders. A few times I had to step in and turn the animals away, but they weren't wild. When I turned them away, they lay down again. And I lay down among them, because that was where I could think and make my observations. I was interested in observing one or two animals more closely, how old they might be and what breed they belonged to. That was what naturally preoccupied me at first. But I couldn't give myself any more specific answers. I saw that different breeds were together and that they all got along. But I noticed that there was a transition. The herd didn't always stay the same, but new animals joined, and they came accompanied by spirit beings. I would have loved to approach these newcomers and have a conversation with them. But the field was so big and I was usually too far away. The spirit beings who let these animals into the field could cross the borders. They would come back with a number of animals and open the border. They did not always arrive at the same place, but one time at this end of the field and the next time at that end. I could therefore not calculate in advance where the next passage or departure of the animals would take place. So I had to think about it myself. I had been told, you will have time to think about your life and you will have time to observe. I was alone, but that did not make me unhappy. The spirit beings who came and went quickly did not engage in conversation with me. So I was completely on my own. I felt neither hunger nor thirst, neither cold nor heat, and I found it wonderful. So I was actually satisfied and thought to myself, well, if this is my heaven after all, then I want to be satisfied with it. I had heard much worse things from my wife about how it could be if you had no faith. She had claimed that there was a purgatory where you had to suffer. So I liked my purgatory quite a bit, because I loved the animals and felt good among them. But actually I wanted to know why they kept taking animals out and bringing new ones in. I couldn't understand that, because I thought to myself, they should keep this herd together. Why do they keep letting new animals in, choosing others and driving them out again? In that position, at that level I was at, I didn't know the answer to these questions. So I just let it happen and I didn't think about it any further. I was satisfied and it would have been all the same to me if I had had to do nothing else for all eternity but tend this herd. But it was not to be like that. Then they came back. The two beings who had led me there and given me the task of looking after these animals. They told me that my time was now up and that I had to leave this plane, someone else would take my place. I asked them to leave me here because I felt so happy among the animals and that heaven could not be more beautiful for me. They did not agree with me and took me by the hand. I should now cross the border. Then I asked them, let me stay at least for a little while longer. Because I cannot leave here without saying goodbye to my animals. During the long time that I had to look after this herd, I also had my favorite animals, and I was happy to discover that they could stay and were not taken away. I had brought these favorite animals together, and then I had calculated the following. The last time, the beings from this side came in and took those animals with them, and the time before last they crossed the lower border. So I thought about it, and I wanted to secure my favorite animals so that they would not be taken away immediately. I did not know whether my request had been seen. In any case, I managed to keep my favorite animals back. I leaned against them and slept on their bodies, and they seemed so trusting to me. I had a special affection for these animals. I told these two companions, these angels who had come, that I wanted to say goodbye. And they granted my wish. They said, okay, if we make you happy with this, then we are happy to make you happy. So you can say goodbye to your favorite animals. They then made the comment, maybe you will have the opportunity to deal with them again. Yes, I thought, maybe they will fetch these animals and bring them to me. That was my thought. And so I said goodbye to my favorites. It actually really hurt me, and I didn't like leaving this pasture. And only then did I really think about it. Then it occurred to me that God is powerful and that there is tremendous wisdom in Him. Because I had lived among these herds and felt happy, and I could imagine that there were many other things that one could also become familiar with, and that perhaps this other thing would serve a higher purpose if one gave this other thing one's interest. And I thought, after all, you can't be such a guardian of these animals forever and ever. You too must move forward to something better, to something more beautiful. I remembered my relatives and friends who had waved to me. I did not feel that they had to lead such a modest life as I had. Then I became happy in my soul and I began to thank God and pray as best I could, remembering the prayers that my mother had taught me as a child. I prayed modestly and stammered a few words of gratitude that I had not had to go through a hard purification and suffer any pain, because I had deserved it for my unbelief. For the future, I resolved to be very diligent in order to strive for a better position. Then the angels came again to get me and they asked me, "Have you now said goodbye to your favorite animals?" "Yes," I replied and asked them, "Is it possible that I can return to this pasture again and look at it all?" They said, "Of course you have the opportunity to return and look back. But later you will definitely no longer have the longing and the relationship with these animals that you have now." They did not let me continue the conversation, but said, "Okay, now say goodbye to all the animals and we will move away from these fields." As far as I could see, I saw herds like this, pasture after pasture and thousands upon thousands of animals. I could not count them. The individual herds all seemed to be fenced off. They had a certain field where they were allowed to live and they were not allowed to cross it. I saw herders like this everywhere. A little wistful on the one hand and yet on the other hand with great excitement and anticipation of what the future would bring me, I said goodbye to them and moved away from these herds. Then the angels said to me, "Yes, the first thing that will happen now is this, we will now first have to talk to you thoroughly about your past life." They explained to me that I would stand before the divine court and would have to appear before a higher spirit of God. I had now undergone a certain purification and had been given enough opportunity to turn to God and be grateful. Now this angel wanted to speak to me. I became a little afraid and looked at myself. I was still wearing my rolled-up trousers and had no shoes. Then I asked these angels, "Don't I need to be ashamed of my appearance?" And they replied, "That's why you don't need to be ashamed, because the one who judges you has long known all about you. What you wear is your property, your spiritual property, and your spiritual property is poor. So there are many who have to appear before this judging angel and who don't look any better either." They wanted to prepare me a little for this conversation, and so I soon realized that these two actually meant well by me. And so I asked them, "Why are you so good to me? Do you know me?" They answered in the affirmative, saying, "Of course, we know you from your life. We were often near you." One of them explained that he had been my guardian angel and that he had often been very sad about me. I could now understand that. The other said that he had also been a guiding spirit for me, but that he had to keep an eye not only on me, but on the whole house, on everyone who lived with me, as well as on those who lived in the immediate vicinity. And so they said, "Well, you have had time to think about your life, but you have not thought much, you have been content. You were just happy with your animals. But you should have thought more about the meaning of life. And we now give you the following advice. When this sublime spirit of God asks you what works you can show, you must answer him that you have come home as a poor sinner and have brought little or no spiritual goods with you, and you ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your unbelief may be forgiven. And you may point out that you have raised 7 children in your life and have had to go without a lot as a result, and that you have done everything in your power to always give your children enough bread. And you say that you are asking for grace, for mercy, that you may be gracious and merciful to you. You are aware of your guilty life, But in the name of Jesus Christ, you are now begging for grace. I was very happy and glad that they told me this in such detail, because I would probably have just stood there trembling and not been able to say much. And I stepped up to this judging angel. I bowed before him. I didn't dare to look up, and I asked exactly as these two angels had told me. At first I was very frightened, of course, but my fear quickly disappeared. This judging angel listened to me, and he didn't really talk about punishment, but he said the following: "Everything you have done wrong, you must now make up for in the future. What you have neglected, you must make up for. We will give you the opportunity to make up for it. And if you are eager and obedient, then you will also be able to ascend, and then you will no longer be such a pathetic thing as you are now. You must strive to improve your own appearance by actively contributing and fulfilling the tasks in the new world in the kingdom of heaven." Yes, I was told all this, but I couldn't understand and hear everything he said. My two companions were with me, and they later repeated to me word for word what this sublime Spirit of God had explained to me. When he said that I could now leave the place and that I would now be led to another level and given new work, I left with a sigh of relief. I was relieved. It wasn't as bad as I had imagined, but I had no idea what the future would bring me. The two spirits of God who had taken care of me then made sure that I at least looked better. They really did bring me shoes. They did bring me shoes, even if they weren't particularly fine ones, but I was more than happy with them. They also had a different garment ready for me and said, "In this state you cannot advance, because your brothers and sisters would not accept you like this. You must become like them and be like them. But you have to start learning now. Now the big task begins with you." I wanted to know why I had to look after these animals, and why there are animals in the world beyond. I told my companions that I had believed that animals did not continue to live after death. They explained it to me: every animal continues to live after death. These animals that I had looked after were those animals that had been killed by humans and that had now passed over into the spiritual realm with their spiritual bodies, for humans had only killed the earthly body, not the spiritual body. They could not and cannot kill that, the angel told me. I wanted to know what happens to these animals. Then they revealed to me, "We cannot tell you in a few words or sentences. It is a long school until you grasp and understand it. And you must go through this school, and you must learn a lot. But alongside this school you must practice faith more. You must be able to pray to God. Worship of God must become a desire in you. You must become grateful to the Creator. You must develop a different relationship with these immortal beings. We want to lead you from one level to the next and teach you. And if you can grasp all this, your faith and admiration for the Creator will also increase." All of this really made a big impression on me. I wanted to learn and I was glad that I looked better. I was then led into a house where many, many brothers and sisters lived, all of whom had to learn like me, to learn to deepen their faith. I wanted to know whether these brothers and sisters also had to look after these large herds of animals, and I was told, "No, not all of them. Some of them did, but others had their own special tasks. But here you get to know the Creator and admire Him. And so we want to deepen the faith in your innermost being, we want to put faith into you," said the angels of God, "because the time will come when you must believe, when you must express your faith. And if you cannot believe in the future after having received such careful training and instruction, you will have to go through a much more rigorous path. So I am at school and have much, much to learn. Actually, I would like to envy you that you already know so much about God's creation. As a human being, I did not know it, I did not believe. You have it easier. After your death, you can enter a few steps higher in the spiritual world and continue your journey from there. You are ahead of other brothers and sisters through your faith. I find that wonderful. Because if you do not have this knowledge, you have to go through strict schools, as I had to. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my purification. I am now returning to my school. May God bless, protect and guard you." Greetings. Joseph, dear brothers and sisters, do you have any questions about what has been said? Dear Joseph, if animals are treated badly by people on this earth and they enter the spiritual world, they will probably be looked after in a special way. Joseph, yes, in the spiritual world, all animals have their care. But aren't the animals then mentally confused or intimidated? Joseph, a great calm surrounds all these animals. People who torture animals, who are not good to them and who have no understanding for them, burden themselves. They will also have to make up for this in the spiritual world. Where were these animals led that Matthias spoke about? Joseph, when these animals are led out, they are led to a higher level, because they also ascend. So those animals that have reached their spiritual maturity in this development are taken out and they move to a higher level. Then the preparations are made for a transformation into a higher life. You can't just leave them out of one sphere and into another, and then they would suddenly have a different spiritual appearance. Rather, the divine beings always need to intervene to give them a new spiritual garment, which they can receive through their ascent. Are they then incorporated into new animal bodies again? Joseph, yes, until the whole development has been completed. When and where did this Matthias live as a human being? Joseph, he lived in Germany about 150 years ago. Did he have to look after the animals in the spiritual realm for a long time? Joseph, I can't say exactly according to your concepts of time. Did his wife's prayers help him at all? Joseph, every prayer helps, even if not immediately. It is simply kept and will be of use to him at the right moment. Because he simply had to go through this purification. It is a misconception of people to believe that one can now only pray for a deceased person and then God would have mercy on him. Of course prayer helps, it is always a balm for a suffering person when he hears that prayers are being said for him. But it is not like that in all cases. There are those who have returned home who are so deeply in debt that they are not allowed to receive any news from their relatives, which means that the angelic world does not give them any news or prayers, because they simply do not deserve it. But the prayers are not lost, they will be of benefit to them later, or these prayers will benefit other souls. In this example we see again the great indulgence of heaven with these simple souls, from whom not much more could be expected. Joseph, yes, it is always like this, those who are on the rise, who come up from below, perhaps have it easier in a certain sense, people show them much more understanding. They are actually not punished as much as they really deserve through their actions. But that comes later. They are then taught in the spiritual world and they are told the following, when they have become like humans and have so much intelligence and have also worked their way up in a spiritual sense, the divine world also demands more from them. So it all depends, not everyone is required to do the same. Someone who is weak in spirit cannot achieve the same feats as someone who has his knowledge and has his firm faith. More is demanded of such a person. Dear Joseph, I noticed that Matthias really did receive preferential treatment. Can we at least conclude from this that he was not a malicious person in the earthly world? Joseph, yes, he was not a malicious person. He was simply a person who could not believe. He tried to live as a proper person and had to make many sacrifices to support himself and his family. Well, now, dear brothers and sisters, I will withdraw. May God's blessing be with you. Recover, all of you who are sick, recover in body and soul. God bless you. Report of the ascending spirit being Matthias and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case. October 5, 1966. Benedict healing from greed and lack of love. How a deceased person is drained in charity and kindness in the afterlife in order to express true Christian spirit in the next life on earth. Control spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit brother by the name of Benedict is now speaking to you. God bless you this hour and in your whole life. God bless you. Benedict. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Benedict. I want to tell you about my life in the divine world, but I must also say something about my life on earth. I had a large family,